Welcome to the Debt-Free Mom Podcast. This week, I want to talk about high-level views of our goals. Sometimes when it comes to our personal finances, what gets in the way of true progress is having a very narrow view of what we're working on, only being focused on one small piece of the overall puzzle. So today, I thought I would just give a high-level view of the last 12 years of my personal finances, what we went through, what goals we focused on, in what order. And sometimes it can be helpful to see not just what I recommend doing in the future or what I'm planning to do in the future, but what actually happened for our family. I'm Carly Hill, and this is the Debt-Free Mom Podcast. I do have a series of three episodes called Our Money Story that I did at the beginning of this podcast, and I will link to those in the show notes if you want to hear more detailed highs and lows and changing our mind and exactly what we did in each little phase of this process. What I really want to do here is not get bogged down with the details, but instead see how we went from A to B to C and see how that order has played out over time. Because I know that if you're following me on Instagram, you're only seeing a current day view of my finances, what it looks like now that we are almost 9 years post debt payoff, now that we are a dual income when we were a single income family for a long time. So that's what I want a sky level view of, so that you can kind of look down and see, okay, not only are these things doable even with low incomes and adding children to your family, but also to see that it takes a long time. I think it is so easy to want to speed through our own goals or to look at other people and believe that they sped through their goals. So the span of time that I'm going to talk about is roughly 12 years. And in these 12 years, we did a lot of things, but in the middle of those things, I did not feel like we were making genuine progress or big leaps. And really, when we're making progress in any goals, that's kind of how it looks more realistically than it does that we're continuously making this upward trajectory that is smooth and consistent. It actually looks like a lot of plateaus with single moments that have a big shift in what we're doing or a big change, but that change comes from what we did during the plateau. So here we go. 2013, I graduated college. Kyle had an internship that he needed to finish. We decided to move to Arizona to finish that internship. I substitute taught while he did his internship. Neither of us were making a full-time income. We made it work because it was just the two of us. 2014, he finishes his internship and takes a full-time job back in our hometown, and I take a full-time teaching job in our hometown as well. Until about 6 months ago, that was the only time in our lives that we were a dual income household. He took a job that paid about $30,000. I took a job that paid about $35,000. We had, between the two of us, we had more money than we had ever had in our life. We also had more debt than we had ever had in our life. The 2014 school year was the 1 year that we both worked full-time. We had a roughly $17,000, $18,000 in student debt between the two of us and a car loan of about $7,000. We had maybe $1,000 in our savings, and we were renting a small apartment. I got pregnant with our first child at the very beginning of that school year, and I knew I did not want to work full-time. I wasn't the primary earner because we were both working full-time, but I was the higher earner. So I decided to leave that full-time teaching job and take two part-time jobs instead. One was a tutoring job, and one was an administrative assistant job that was a hybrid of 2 days in the office and 1 day from home. This allowed me to kind of feel like I was a stay-at-home mom, but really I had at least 3 days a week that I was working. And this was because of the way our finances were. We could not live on $30,000 and have almost nothing in savings and have a bunch of debt. While I was working those two part-time jobs, I decided that I felt like the debt was what was holding us back from achieving our financial freedom that we wanted. I wanted the option to work or not work, but not feel like I had to work because of finances. So in that time, I decided to start paying off our debts faster than the minimum payment. So like I said, Kyle and I each had student loans and we had a car loan. I looked at our interest rates on our student loans, and I just started tackling the largest interest rate debts first. So as I was working these two part-time jobs, I was focusing any extra income I could find onto these debts and was paying them off one at a time. I was budgeting somewhat. I have these old spreadsheets that I was using at the time. They were monthly spreadsheets. We were paid every other Friday, but I was using this once a month budget. And then we were not following any sort of system or method from someone else. In that school year from 2014 into the spring of 2015, before our oldest was born, we paid off as much debt as we could, but we were still in a decent amount of debt when he was born. He was born in May. I believe I had paid off Kyle's student loans, but we still had my student loans and the car. When he was born, and then I started working those part-time jobs in the summer of 2015, we just continued to avoid lifestyle inflation, avoid increasing our spending, because we knew that these other goals were more important to us. So we continued to pay off debt. And in April of 2016, right before our oldest turned one, we paid off the rest of our debt. So we had a debt payoff rate of around $1,000 a month for about 2 years. And that was wild to me. A large part of it was just how low our cost of living was at the time. The apartment we were renting was $675 a month. We had one child instead of four. Groceries obviously cost a lot less than they do now. Our spending was just low. We also didn't do things that we do now. We did not travel. We did not do big vacations. I didn't get coffee out all the time like I do now. So our life looked different in some ways that were outside of our control, but it also looked different in ways that were inside of our control, choices we were making about our spending. We became debt-free in April of 2016. I also found out I was pregnant with our second child in April of 2016. I continued to work both of those part-time jobs until August of 2016, when we had a few more thousand in our emergency fund. So remember, we paid off our debt, which was really exciting, but we still had $1,000 in our savings. So this was a very low, and I would say not recommended amount for a savings, especially for a family as we had kids. We had one kid about to have two, and we had almost nothing in savings. So after we paid off the debt, we focused on filling our emergency fund. We did also celebrate the fact that we had paid off all of our debt. So in July of 2016, we took our first week-long vacation that was just our family. We weren't going with his family or my family. We rented a condo on the beach, and the three of us, plus me pregnant with our second, went on a beach vacation together. That is a hallmark memory in my mind. It was our debt-free celebration vacation, and I remember it very clearly. So then we were focusing on building our emergency fund. So it took 1 year to fill our emergency fund from 1,000 to 10,000. So it took 1 year to save 9,000. Once we got to 5,000, I did quit one of my part-time jobs. So this was part of me knowing myself and knowing what would motivate me to continue putting every extra dollar onto our goals was if I could see tangible changes or tangible benefits of what we were doing. So once we paid off all of our debt and had a few thousand more in our emergency fund, I quit one of the part-time jobs, and it was the more demanding, more time-consuming job that was 2 days a week in the office and 1 day a week at home. I left that job in August of 2016, but I continued to tutor. So in May of 2017, we had a full emergency fund of, at the time, full to us was $10,000. We now have twice that amount because our needs and our risk and our costs have grown. We were ready to move and get a little bit more space. We were in a two-bedroom townhouse and had two kids, but we were not ready to buy a home. We didn't have a down payment. I didn't know what that would look like for us. And so we rented a house, a standalone single-family home, as opposed to a townhouse. This single family home had four bedrooms and one bathroom. And so we went down in bathrooms and up in bedrooms, but we had more space. We had our own garage. We had a backyard that was fenced in. The rent went from $675 at the townhouse to $1,100 at the rental house. So in June of 2017, we moved in there when we were debt-free and had a full emergency fund. I was so excited to have more space, to feel like we could settle down a little bit. We ended up staying there for 2 years, and our third son was born while we were there. In that time, because our rent went from $675 to $1,100, we did not make a lot of headway in really any goals. We did not grow our emergency fund. We were not investing, which is one of my biggest regrets. We knew that our goal that we were focusing on was a down payment for our house, but we weren't making great progress because our expenses had gone up. So in that time, we recognized our goals are really slowing down. We had been aggressive with our goals for 3.5 years. And so I was okay with slowing down a little bit, but not with completely stopping. At no point or age or goal is it sustainable to have very little to no margin between your income and expenses. Life is just too expensive and unpredictable for that. We need to have a gap between our income and expenses that can absorb the things that come our way, no matter how old we are or no matter what goals we're working on. While we had been celebrating paying off all of our debt, saving up our emergency fund, having 2 kids, me leaving one of my jobs, Kyle actually decided to get a part-time job on top of his full-time job. So he started roasting coffee. He got his coffee roaster certification and started roasting coffee for a new coffee shop around us. And he started that job early 2017 and stayed for almost 2 years, just shy of 2 years. So in that time, we had one full-time job and 2 part-time jobs between both of us. And once we started doing that, we did gain a little bit of a gap between our income and expenses. But if I look back at our progress in our savings or in towards our down payment from 2017 to 2018, there was not a lot of momentum. If I graphed all of it together, it would be a plateau. That was a little over 3 years after my first was born. When he was born and we had those 3, Kyle was working his full-time job and his part-time job, and then we were ready to figure out the home buying process. We would be first-time home buyers. We really had no clue what that would look like or where we would move. So from the fall of 2018 to the spring of 2019, we were trying to save up, and there wasn't a lot of margin between our income and expenses. We decided that we would buy in the spring of 2019 after we received our tax return. Our tax return ended up being $5,000. We had, I think, $2,000 or $3,000 saved up. And then we also qualified for a first-time home buyer grant that was $6,000. So we put together, I know that we put down on our first home $11,000. And we purchased it for $142,000. So we were just shy of 10% down. I think we were 7.5% down. So we purchased that home in April of 2019. Our monthly payment was $1,256. I remember it clearly. So it was only $150 more per month than our rent had been. When we took on the mortgage, we were no longer 100% debt-free, but we were consumer debt-free. So we had $10,000 in our emergency fund, no debt, and we bought this home. So in the rest of 2019, we just enjoyed that we were homeowners. We enjoyed being debt-free. We enjoyed our kids, all of those good things. And then with our tax return in the spring of 2020, we knew that the next thing we wanted to focus on was investments for retirement. Kyle had one small retirement account that matched 3%, but 3% of a lower income means that we were not investing enough for securing our retirement. So we knew that was the next thing we wanted to focus on. It just so happened, as the entire world will know, that the market temporarily crashed early March of 2020 for known reasons. And that was right when we had opened the IRA in February. We waited for our tax return. We put the money in there and we purchased the index fund inside of the Roth IRA, I think on like March 10th. So we just so happened to purchase a large chunk of index fund during that temporary drop when the pandemic hit and the market dropped. So we basically bought a bunch of the stock market on sale. It was running a big once a year, 50% off sale kind of thing. And that's when we bought. So that was timing that we could not control. Sometimes the things that we can't control are negative things. Sometimes the things we can't control work in our favor. And that happened to be one of them. And that was a weird phase of life to get to because that goal didn't have a start and a stop. All of the other ones had a specific number that we were working to, and we knew when we had accomplish that goal. Investing consistently for retirement was not something that we would check a box for and move on to something else. I'm only a few years past when we started that and have decades to go. And so that was an adjustment in our thinking, in our perspective on settling into something that was going to always be there in the background, as opposed to a debt payoff or an emergency fund. So we were settling into that. If you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt-Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. I spent years feeling frustrated that my money wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't until I discovered the magic of budgeting by pay period rather than by month that my money started to feel stable. Pay Period Budget Academy is my signature budgeting course that helps hundreds of women take control of their home finances. Join today at debtfreemom.co/PBA and use the code podcast at checkout to get 20% off your membership. Trying to get used to the idea that this was just a long-term part of our life as opposed to a concrete goal. And then obviously the pandemic was raging at this point. I found out I was pregnant with Ruby in May of 2020, and she was born in February of 2021. At this time, Debt-Free Mom was slowly growing. So I started the Instagram account in March of 2019 and was just on Instagram essentially for a while. I started coaching a little bit in towards the end of 2019. The custom budget framework wouldn't come about until 2021. The Pay Period Budget Academy wouldn't come about until early 2022. So that was happening, rumbling kind of below the surface while I'm describing these things that are happening in 2019 and 2020. But it wasn't a consistent source of income for us. It was not something I was regularly paying myself a paycheck for. I was basically keeping all the money in a separate account and using it for any expenses related to the business. 2021, we had Ruby. We were still continuing to invest as we could, invest whatever extra we had. And then the other thing that you have to do once we settle into that investing phase of life is to think ahead to what large expenses might come my way and how can I avoid debt. The next phase is not simply enjoying being debt-free, it's also being strategic and proactive about avoiding new debt. So we had to look at what are the age of our cars, what we needed to do in order to have those ready to replace without getting a loan. So just living our life in a way that reflected our financial values and avoided going back into the things that we had worked so hard to get out of. So keeping our emergency fund up, which meant that anytime we used the emergency fund, it became our number one goal to refill it. And that was honestly a sweet time. I look back very positively, even though the pandemic was going on and there was fear about the future. Would it always be like this? Would we get back to a new sense of normal? But at the same time, we had alleviated a lot of the financial frustrations that we had been experiencing for so long. We went from a lack of options to the ability to be a stay-at-home mom. We went from very little in savings, knowing that if a large expense came our way, we would have to take on debt, to a full emergency fund. So financially, we had shifted a lot of things over an extended period of time. Again, looking back, this is now 6 years into the process in 2020. And so it was just enjoyable. It was calm. It was less stress. It was less fear. And those things that we had been doing for 6 years had purchased that sense of calm, or that idea that an unexpected expense would be annoying, but it wouldn't wreck us. So we continued in that way, continued growing Debt-Free Mom. By late 2021, I had decided to design a course, and I had also put out the $9 template for sale for the first time in December of 2021. And my business income was starting to pick up enough that I could pay myself infrequently. I wasn't on a set pay schedule or a set pay amount at that point, but I was paying myself a little bit more, and I was investing a lot of that. The course, the Pay Period Budget Academy, became available in January of 2022. And that's when I really started to be like, okay, you need to treat this like a real business. Like, you need to start paying attention to your expenses, your taxes, all of those more complex business things. I read the book Profit First at the beginning of 2022, and that's the way I set up my business finances with taxes, operating expenses, owner pay, and profit. And so I started divvying up our revenue on set intervals. So I started getting a paycheck twice a month. The amount of the paycheck was different every time. It still is, but I was at least paying myself something on the 10th and 25th of every month. In the summer of 2022, Kyle decided he was ready to move on from his job that he had been at for so long. He loved that job for a very long time. It was also a very labor-intensive job mentally. It was around kids, and we now had a lot of kids at our house. And so he was just ready for a shift in what his job structure looked like. Now, much to my chagrin, he was very sure that we could live on the debt-free mom income and let go of his full-time income. He is forever the optimist in our household. I am the pessimist. And so he convinced me. And so I decided, okay, we can try it. Initially, we tried it. I said, I'll try it for 3 months from October 2022 through the end of the year. If it's not working, I need you to go get a job. Because that pressure was something that I had not experienced up until that point of relying on my income solely. Lo and behold, it worked like he said it would. And so what started as an experiment for 3 months ended up being something we did for almost 2 years, where debt-free mom was our primary income. And then he worked freelance clients with marketing or emails or websites in order to supplement the debt-free mom income. But the debt-free mom income was our primary income in our household from October 2022 to July of 2024, excuse me. In that time, while we were 100% self-employed in the summer of 2023, anyone who follows me can recall that we had a neighbor situation go dramatically south. It basically became, if not unsafe, 100% unpleasant to be at our house, to be out in our yard, especially to walk from our house to our car. And I just decided life is too short. The things we have been doing for the last 8 years to secure our finances and give us options are giving us options right now that we might not have had otherwise. And one of those options is to move and to get away from this person who has made it very clear that they're not going to settle down or let go. They're going to intensify and double down. So In August of 2023, we moved out of the house initially thinking we would rent it out while we were renting. Now, the reason that we went from homeowner to renting was, number one, we needed to move quickly, and you don't move quickly when you are purchasing a home. And number two, we had been fully self-employed for less than a year. And so getting a mortgage, and a mortgage that was much larger than the mortgage we had gotten before, would have been next to impossible to have no W-2 income and self-employed income that had been active for less than a year. So that's why moving into a rental was the better choice for us in multiple ways. So we moved into the rental before we even put our home up for sale. We moved into the rental. For 2 months, we paid both the rent and the mortgage, and then our house sold in October of 2023. So we moved out in August of 2023, sold the house in October of 2023. It sold for much more than we had bought it for, and we had a 15-year mortgage, so we had also paid down a lot of the mortgage initially. So we got a hefty payout in October of 2023. So that brings us into 2024, and we were freelancing, working for a debt-free mom, trying to increase our investments, but then also we had been thrown this big wrench of our housing situation. So we were now back to focusing on, when are we going to buy a house? How much can we save in our down payment? All of those things that were very reminiscent of 2018 for us. So in the beginning of 2024, the debt-free mom income that had been growing the entire 2023 started to go down. And my paychecks were getting smaller and smaller. Kyle was still freelancing, but it was not enough. In March of 2024, he started looking for jobs, and it was a process. It was tough. I'm so proud of him. He was getting up every morning, applying to to as many jobs as he could possibly find for months and months, barely hearing back from any of them, getting a couple small interviews, a couple things that could have been like freelance contract employee situation, but not like a salaried position. In June of 2024, he got a job working remote as a digital strategist for a marketing company. And that job has changed our year, changed our life, really. I mean, the benefits of the job are like nothing we've ever had, because we were coming exclusively from a nonprofit ministry and a public school teacher into a for-profit corporation. And he loves the people he works with. He loves the work that he does. He loves the way that they are generous to him and all their employees. And from July of 2024 to now, recording this in November of 2024, we have been full steam ahead on down payment, because we know that by the time this lease is up next summer, we will want to have already purchased a home, and he will have had a W-2 income for a year alongside my debt-free mom income. So then we were going from these wild swinging extremes of being concerned about our income in the spring to having more than we had ever had before in the fall. So we've been riding out a lot of highs and lows in the last 2 years, with the unexpected neighbor situation just kind of kicked off about 2 years of unpredictability and stress and navigating changes we hadn't anticipated. And so getting this job in July was really a weight off of both of our shoulders of what we could now look forward to and settle into a consistent salary and being ready to move on and move into a home. So that's where we're at now, is we are heavily prioritizing, or exclusively prioritizing, our down payment fund. In the spring, we'll probably start looking, because we don't know how long it will take. And we want to be ready and not have to jump into, okay, do we sign another lease or do we just buy a house that's less than ideal? We want to start early enough that we have time to really find what's best for us. So that's where we're at. Next year, once we buy, our goal will then be to return our focus, shift our focus back to retirement and investing. So that is a high level view of 2013-14 to 2024. That's a decade of our lives. So I shared on Instagram a couple of days ago the quote from, it was sourced as Bill Gates. I'm sure someone else said a similar thing prior to him and after him and all those things. But he said, we dramatically overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in 10 years. So to look back and think about what my life looked like in 2014, and zooming through up to 2024 and thinking about how I felt in the middle of that, down in the thick of it, in the muck of it, was that I felt like we weren't getting anywhere. And I felt like we weren't getting anywhere all the time, all along those 10 years. But if I go from 2024 and just jump forward, or from 2014 and jump forward to 2024, we got a lot of places. We did a lot of things in spite of challenges and because of challenges and things we couldn't control, and economy going up and economy going down and income going up and income going down. That's another thing, is I initially thought at the beginning when we started all of this that it would just be a constant upward trajectory and everything would get easier and easier. And it actually looks more like what investing looks like, which is yo-yoing upstairs. That's an analogy that's often used for investing. You're holding a yo-yo while you're walking up a set of stairs. The yo-yo is going up and going down, but if you zoom out, the yo-yo overall is climbing up the stairs in an upward trajectory. So inside of this upward trajectory, there are ups and downs, but that doesn't mean that on the whole, we aren't moving in an upward fashion if we zoom out. And so this little exercise reminds me that we are moving up, even when we actually are moving down in a micro way, we are moving up in a macro way. So I highly encourage you to do this exercise for yourself. Think back over the last 10 years and think about the ups and downs that you've had that were maybe a yo-yo walking upstairs. And if you have things that are dramatically better than they were 10 years ago, and if you have things that are dramatically worse than 10 years ago, think about how that fits into the larger picture of where could you be 10 years from now? If now is your starting point, what could 2034 look like? Be careful of overestimating what you can accomplish in 1 year, but also be careful of underestimating what you can accomplish in 10 years. Hopefully my high level view encourages you to have a zoomed out view of your goals as well, because we don't want to get too in the weeds of it, that we get frustrated about what's not happening happening today. If we would just have a little different perspective, we would see what has been happening over the last 100 days, for example. So thanks for joining me. If you have any comments about this or other episodes you would like to hear, you can give us an email at Carly, C-A-R-L-Y, at debtfreemom.co. See you next week. Thanks for listening to the Debt Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill, and is produced, edited, and mixed by Kyle Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.
When it comes to cleaning your house, who doesn't wish un galán with a trust fund swept in and pass the mop to your evil stepmom like in the telenovelas? Hola, it's Chiquis here, and although life isn't always like in the soap operas, Fabuloso does bring a clean that's always over the top. Get your home dramatically clean anytime you like without any evil mama drama. Just long-lasting lavender freshness. That's Fabuloso, taking the drama out of any mess.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso original. Use as directed.